Now, in the Gospel of Luke, there are these three stories about the resurrection of Jesus. All of them happen on the first day of the week, the Sunday, the first Easter Sunday. And all of them happen in and around Jerusalem. But when we join these two disciples today, where are they headed? Away from Jerusalem. They're not walking towards Jerusalem. They're not there at the heart of the Christian community. They're walking in the wrong direction, away from the center of the action, away from the place that they're meant to be. And this sense of what is going on? Why are these two disciples walking in the wrong direction, away from the heart of the action? And their hearts, of course, are so downcast. We get an insight into what they're about and the message that they're trying to share. They begin to tell the story. We knew about this Jesus. He was a prophet, mighty in word and in deed. And no one could deny that. No one could say that that isn't, in fact, the case about Jesus, that he was this prophet, mighty in word and deed. And as Jesus joins them and begins to ask these questions, you know, with great irony, what things have been happening? Tell me about this person called Jesus, about what he's all about. And then they say, well, our own hope had been that he would be the one. He would be the one who would set us free. He would be the one who would restore us and allow our people of Israel to be set free from all of the slavery, all of this oppression that the Romans have afflicted upon us. That didn't, in fact, happen. Jesus, rather than being the great victor, rather than being the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would set his people free, who would restore us and raise up this army to overthrow the Roman oppressors, instead he was defeated. Instead, everything that we'd hoped for has now been dashed. Oh, okay, I mean, some of the women went to the tomb and it was empty. Some of the others had been there and they were able to claim this impossible thing that Jesus was now alive. But we know that can't possibly be true. We're told that the two disciples, one is called Cleopas and the other isn't named. There's another Cleopas that we meet later in the Acts of the Apostles who's married to a woman called Mary. They were short of names in the first century, obviously. So perhaps it's Cleopas and his wife who are there. But some have suggested that that's unlikely because Jesus then rebukes them for being of slow of mind, and that couldn't possibly be the case of the women who are much quicker perhaps to trust and to get it than us slow-witted men sometimes are. But there they are, wandering along the road. And even though they're headed in the wrong direction, even though they're going away from the center of the action, Jesus still chooses to walk with them, to be there, to call them, to open their hearts and their minds to understand the whole message of the scriptures, to see not just the little particular passages that they've been focused on, but to begin to see, no, this fits into a much grander, more beautiful, more powerful story. And it's only when you understand the whole depth of the story of God that any of us can begin to understand our particular place within it. And this day is significant in my own life, this fourth day of May, because back in 1986, it was on the Sunday of an Antioch weekend that I first encountered the Lord. I mean, I'd grown up in a Catholic family. My parents had shared the faith with me. I knew all kinds of facts and information. I'd read some of the scriptures. I had the story. I had all of the details about what the church had taught. We'd had private lessons with the parish priest, my two brothers and I, and he'd walked us through the teachings of the catechism. But my mind was still closed. My heart had not yet tasted this experience of love. I had not yet actually encountered God. He'd remained locked away in the pages of these books, these dry and dusty books that cluttered the shelves of our library at home. It wasn't until that day, through the love and example of other young people and through the witness of the parish priest, who opened my heart to realize that Jesus didn't have to just be this abstract character, that he was already there walking with me along the journey of my life, but I needed to have my eyes opened to this reality, to this possibility. And so I've, for many years now, marked and celebrated this particular day as the day of my salvation, the day of my life, the day when I first began to experience the joy and the wonder of what a life with God can be about. Now, I hope many of you are able to identify perhaps a particular day in your life when the penny began to drop in a particular way, when there's that particular moment in your life when you experience that love and that embrace of the Lord in a particular way. Now, as I've shared my story over the years, I found many people who haven't had that moment because they didn't really need it, because they've known the Lord ever since they were just little children. Some of my friends have said, no, I've always known that He was there as part of my life. But I've also met many Catholics, many Christians who have never had that moment, have never had that experience of that personal encounter. If that's you, if you've walked away or walked along the journey of this faith and this life and tried to struggle to make sense of what the church was about and how it all fitted into your life, but you can't say, yes, I remember that day when the Word of God just burnt within my life. I remember that day when I was celebrating the Eucharist and suddenly I began to experience and realize that this was not just bread, this was not just wine, but it was the very presence of God poured out for me, that I could encounter Him, that He could be part of my life, that I could experience this richness and fullness of life, just as these two disciples did. It took a time, it took a while, but slowly it began to dawn on them as Jesus broke the bread and shared it with them. And suddenly all the scales fell away, as St. Paul will later describe it. And that experience then compelled them, even though it was now dark, even though the road back to Jerusalem was dangerous, they knew they had to go and run back to return to the rest of the community and to share their own story. The call for us is to do the same, to acknowledge that we can experience that very personal love of God inviting us, calling us, embracing us to experience the power of this love for me personally, but not just for me to be able to share it with others in the midst of this community. This powerful passage has a place for all of us in our lives. It's why so many Christians over the centuries have meditated upon it, have painted it, have described it in music and in dance. But this powerful story is meant to be for us that moment of encounter within our own lives. Perhaps today is the day when you can indeed acknowledge, this is the day when I finally began to get it. This is the day when the Lord began to be a personal presence within my own life. This is the day when I began to read the scriptures and they made sense within my life. This is the day when I wanted to be able to share my own story with my family and friends and those that the Lord has placed around me. Claim this day as the day the Lord has indeed made. Claim this day for our own lives as that moment of encounter. This is a chance to be different because of this day, because of the journey that the Lord continues to want to make with us. It doesn't really matter where we are. It doesn't matter whether we're walking towards Jerusalem or if the family and friends that we care for seem like they're walking away from the church and away from this experience. God will still be there. The God that I believe, the God that I know, is a God who's massive and awesome and wonderful and all-embracing, and a God who will continue to reach out into any life, any person, any experience. God can be part of all of that. Let's celebrate that God. Let's encounter that God as we continue to worship today.